interviewing Mr. Ernesto Tibler, mm-hmm. who is presently retired. He's 82 years old.
82, yeah.
He was born here in San Diego.
In San Diego, yeah.
And he's been a laborer most of his life.
Labor, yeah.
His father was a...
grocery.
You own a grocery store. And Mr. Tibler, could you tell us about your early life with your parents when you were growing up, say back in the 1900s? Tell us something about your parents, about your father. Who was your father, your mother, and their families? When did they get to San Diego?
Well, my mother, she was born here in San Diego. And, well, that's all.
How about your father? Was he born in San Diego?
No, my father, I believe he came from Louisiana.
Came from Louisiana. When did he come over?
I don't.
You don't recall.
No.
As you were growing up, say in the 1900s, you were about 6 years old, Mr. Tibler, mm-hmm. at that time. What can you recall about your father and his grocery store? Where was it located here in San Diego?
It was located right in front of the hardware store, Lipman Levi. Just a lot of
what products did he sell at?
Just regular, the general store, potatoes and canned goods and things like that.
Did you help your father at
no.
the grocery? You never did help? How about your brothers? How many brothers were in your family?
There was five of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, you remember your brother's names?
And yeah, Claude.
Who's the oldest? And
yeah, he was the oldest. And then Lawrence, next. Edmund P. Tibler, and Ernest Tibler, and J.D. Tibler, Dewey, the Mojón Cortes.
Now, your brothers, were they older or younger than you were?
Well, I was, the second youngest. Dewey was the first youngest, and then me, and then Edmund, and then Lawrence, and then Claude. Claude used to help from Pedro's Nile over here with penmanship,
right?
On the deed records,
right? At the courthouse,
there was no typewriters of any sort. No.
And did you and your brothers go to school here in San Diego?
Yes, we went to school here.
Can you tell us something about the school, the first year that you were in school, as far back?
Well, everything was all right. The people, the teachers, they were very nice to the pupils.
What year did you go to school, do you recall?
Well, I started school when I was 8 years old.
So that was 1902, approximately 1902.
1902.
And you went to school for how many years?
Oh, I guess about 8 years, more or less.
About 8 years.
Yeah.
So after you were out of school, did you go to work?
Yeah.
By that time, you were about 16 years of age.
Yeah.
Were you working with your father?
No.
Working?
No, I stayed around home there. Of course, a young man, you know, he can't get a job. Well, there were no jobs at hand. And after that, I started working as a laborer.
Okay. Now, 1908, you were 16 years old, approximately. By 1908, you should have had some cotton jeans around the area. Do you recall the cotton jeans?
Yeah, we had. Don Manuel Rogers was over there by the railroads.
Was that the first one?
That was no.
Which was the first?
The first cotton jean was belonged to Henry Parkman.
Parkman. I heard that there was a shoemaker. Was there a shoemaker?
Shoemaker. Yeah, but he was a manager. Shoemaker was the manager. Of Parkman's jean.
Parkman's jean.
And then. The head, the Manuel Rogers built over there, those vacant lots. I can't tell you exactly, but they were on several vacant lots there. He bought that land there and he built a cotton gin.
How was the cotton business at that time? Say, when shoemaker.
Well, it was in paying. paying business.
With a lot of cotton.
There was Goodyear cotton, yeah.
Goodyear cotton.
And then Celestino Martinez, I worked 20 years there on the this.
Was it before 1920 when you worked for Celestino, or after 1920? Do you recall? After the war, the First World War?
No, it was before the First World War. I worked in there. And after that, when we come back, I worked at the gin.
Were you in the service in the First World War?
Yeah, I was in the Argonne Forest up there in France.
Uh-huh. So,
we was fighting against the Germans over there.
You left in, what, the 1918?
About 19.
How old
about
were you?
About the middle of, so we were discharged from the army about, I was about 1900, no, not, let's see, 18, the year was 1800, wasn't it?
No,
1918.
Right.
Well, 1920, mm-hmm. I was discharged from the army. Mm-hmm. And
you came back from the army?
Came back from the army. I built a garage, and I was working there about 3 or 4 years only. Then I sold it up because too much credit work. I didn't want to give my money away, just, you know, pay for somebody who doesn't pay you.
That's right.
So when then after that, I worked with Celestino here, and whenever there was like a... the schoolhouse was built on the other side of the creek over there, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I was a mortar mixer for that outfit over there. And then this crest that was built over here in the central part of town.
Emmy Moses.
Yeah. I saved them in... On cement basis, I saved them 80 sacks of cement, and then and when the courthouse was burned up, they built a new jail and a new courthouse on this side of the old courthouse. Mm-hmm. And I was a mortar mixer for that jail there, just for the jail alone.
How about at the gin, Mr. Tubular, did you work during the course, cotton season or during the summer?
Huh?
But you worked during the summer
In the
cotton?
Summer, yeah.
How many hours did you put in there working for Mr. Martinez?
Martinez, about 10 hours more or less.
Exactly.
A day.
What did you do there exactly at the cotton gin? What were you?
Sorbedora.
Okay.
You call that suction pipe.
Suction pipe. Wow.
Suction pipe on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting it off of the wagons into the building.
How many hours a day did you work doing that type of
work? About 10 hours.
10 hours. Steady work?
Steady work, yeah.
Steady work. And you would say that many a load of wagons with cotton came through
there. Oh, yeah.
There was
lots of... in those days, there was... most of the people, they had wagons, and they come on horseback, buggies. There was no automobile then.
Where did the cotton go from there, after you processed?
Right. Well, it was the people that ginned the cotton. It was their idea who to sell that bale of cotton to.
But how was this transported out of San Diego?
It was transported on railroad track, right? The Tex-Mex.
The Tex-Mex?
Yeah, they had it in the switch. Right into the Martinez lot.
Have you, before this time, did you do any, say before you joined the service, during the First World War. Mm-hmm. You were drafted probably in 1918.
Yeah.
Did you do any kind of farm work, any ranching, vaquero, help with the cattle herds, drive them over to town, anything like that? Did you spend any time in the ranches around here, the farms around here? That you can That was after. You came back from...
That was after I came back from the First World War.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about some of your adventures as being out in the ranch, helping with cattle, anything like that?
Oh, yes. I used to help Louis Jaeger and Lee Adamy round up the cattle. And one time we took some cattle from here from San Diego to the Luby Ranch up there. I don't know the name of the ranch up there, but we went through Alice, and it goes right into the Luby. Oh, it's a good long way, you know, just on horseback.
Driving. How many head?
Oh, it must have been about 300 head.
300 head. How long did it take to get over there?
Oh, it took us about 2 days.
2 days. Did you encounter any problems on the way over?
No. And after we got through with Luby, I was working. After that, I worked for Charlie Gladys. We went to up there in the sandy country. He bought, I believe it was him and Frank Thompson bought 500 head of cattle. And he drove them all the way to the Gravis Ranch on horseback.
What were your brothers doing at this time? Were your brothers still safe? Were they here in San Diego? Did they move out of town? Or?
Well, Lolly, he's got odd jobs in town, in Florida. He was working at the courthouse.
Did you say your mother or your grandmother was the owner of that
hotel?
That was your mother or your grandmother?
It's a Martin name.
Was that your grandmother?
My grandmother. She was the owner of that hotel.
Was that one of the first motels in San Diego?
Yeah.
Tell us something about the motel, the hotel. How big was it? Rooms and things like that.
Well, it had about 14 rooms.
14 rooms.
More or less, yeah.
And what kind of people stayed there?
The drummers that would come from Corpus, because the train stopped here about 10:30 in the morning, and the drummers would get out and go to the different stores and see what they wanted, needed, see. And then the other train had come from Laredo. It would stop here at 2 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. And they would get out and go to the store, see if they needed anything. And these people, well, they would get on the train and go to Alice, and they would sometimes stop over at the Martinet Hotel for a couple of hours, you know. Sometimes they'd drive them over there to Alice. Mr. J.W. Shaw.
How were they driven over?
With buggies.
Buggies.
I used to drive them over, Mr. Shaw. Mr. Shaw only paid me 35 cents, except from San Diego to Alice.
That's pretty. How long would it take?
Oh, about 2 hours, more or less.
2 hours. That's pretty fast. But 10 miles, right?
Yeah, 10 miles.
So
he had real good horses. Yeah, and we drive pretty fast, you know.
That was 35 cents.
35
that was pretty
cents.
Good. Pretty good money then, right?
Yeah, at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that bank still there across the street, the First
no.
State Bank? The bank
no,
was built
no.
in... The bank was not there?
No, the bank
State
wasn't
bank.
There.
When was the First State Bank there? Later on?
I don't remember when it was built.
But how old were you when you would drive those people over to Alice?
Oh, just a young man, just, you know.
Teenager, 15, 16?
Something like that,
something
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So in about 4 hours, you were, it takes about two to go and two to come back.
Two to come back, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any stories about the life here in San Diego? The ranchers or farmers, the fiestas?
Yeah, the people. That plaza was donated to a Mexican woman to the people of San Diego. And that other one in front of the waterworks, that, you know, where
the church.
Over there, not this on this side, but on the other side. Santa Rosa Luisa.
Yeah, that's the one by the Catholic church there.
By the Catholic church. That was donated to the people of San Diego, those two plazas.
And what kind of fiesta did they have there? When were the first fiestas here in San Diego? Were you a young boy then?
Yeah, I was young, yeah.
It was held. They were held mostly during cotton season, right?
In the month of June and July and August.
August, yeah. A lot of business.
Yeah, good deal of business. Yeah. They had lots of little restaurants, you know, owned by Mexican people. And they had places to sell fruit and soda water and things like that.
Was there any gambling going on there? The early days, mm-hmm. Any gambling? Illegal gambling? Roulettes?
No, I don't think there's nothing much of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
No. Gambling.
You recall this man that was killed here, Candelario Sainz, dead here in San Diego. What can you tell us about that? How old were you then, or were you just a...
Yeah, that was in... I don't remember exactly, but when they burnt the courthouse in 1914. Mm-hmm. And these men were killed before that. Before the courthouse was burned up.
Who were the people that were killed in the...
Candelario Sainz, Pedro Snal, and Antonio Indiano.
Were these people officers, county officials?
County officials, yeah.
Can you recall the people that were responsible for the deaths? How were they killed?
Well, you know, Archie Parr wanted to move the county seat to Benavides.
Nice.
And Frank Robinson and Charlie Gravis. And Dr. Roberts, they told different people here what Archie Paul wanted to do, and they didn't like it a damn bit. Move out, because he's been here probably 30 or 20 years, something like that, more or less. And after the courthouse is built on a certain place, it can't be moved unless something real serious. The people of the county made a petition, but nobody made no petition of any sort. So he was doing an unjust act to the people of San Diego.
Can you tell us about the day? What kind of a day was it? About what time of the day did this happen? How did it happen?
No street killings?
Right.
It was done about 7:30 in the morning.
Where?
Just around, right around 8 o'clock in the morning. I heard the shots, and I was at Miss Martinez Hotel over there, because we always went over there from our home, just across the street from Miss Martinez. We'd stay around there, and we heard the shots, and I run over there to the courthouse, and there was Candelario on the ground, and Pedro Snal, and Antonio Indiano.
Was Candelario an officer?
Yes, he was an officer.
What officer?
He was a deputy sheriff, I believe.
Now, was Candelario with Archie Parr and those people?
Yes.
He was with that group.
He controlled all of this outfit here.
How about the other two people? Who were they? What positions did they hold in the courthouse? The two people that were killed.
From Pedro Snal?
Pedro Snal.
District clerk?
He was a district clerk?
Yeah.
And the other man?
And Antonio Anguiano, he was a deputy sheriff. And Candelario was a deputy sheriff also.
Did they have a chance to fire back at the people that shot him?
No, they didn't give him that chance.
What were they shot with?
Shot with rifles.
Rifles.
One rifle, I remember, I used to work for Charlie Gravis after that killing with the guard over here. And I used to stay in the same room with him. And he told me that if Orchard Paul would have been there that morning, he said, I would have killed him. Because he didn't like him.
What happened to the three people that killed those other people?
Charlie Gravis and Frank Brunson and Dr. Roberts, they were tried Richmond, Texas. Richmond, Texas.
I know what that is.
And they were Masonists. Mm-hmm. Mason, Masonists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they didn't do anything to them.
They came back, San
Diego? They came back, yeah.
What did Archie do about it?
Didn't do anything, I guess.
The courthouse was not moved then.
No, it wasn't moved. And up to date, it's going to stay here.
That's cool. Yeah. How much were you paid, when you started at the cotton gin? What was the salary then? How many people worked there?
About $1.50, $2 a day. That's all it
is. 19.20.
About, more or less.
Well, you weren't working when that hurricane hit?
Yes, here in San Diego.
You were not in the service yet? I mean, you were still in the service, weren't you, or you were back?
No, I believe it was before.
Oh, before you went in?
Before, I believe it was.
How did that affect the crops around here, the cotton gin business there?
Well, it was a great quantity of water, and of course, I don't know how it was affected, but we went through it just the same, so.
How many people worked at that Martinez gin when you were there? And what were their jobs?
It was Toribio Guerra. He was an engineer. And the other man that worked, when they put the bales on the machine and put the aritos alrededor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the names of them, but it's been such a long time, you know. But there were two men there.
Was there anyone else that worked there as long as you did?
Yeah, another fellow by name, Julio Cortez, he worked there several years. Julio Cortez.
You worked 20 years for him?
20 years. And in wintertime, I'd go and burn tar for
Lubian.
Lee Edelman.
Yeah.
And I worked for Louis Jago also.
Where did you stay when you did all this work out there in the ranch?
I stayed at the ranch.
At the ranch. What the houses look like?
Well, it was just a wooden house, just a lumber house.
Frame house. Were there any jacales out there?
No. Lee had a barn there. Mm-hmm. We put the food for the cows and things like that.
Were you paid? How were you paid? By the day, by the week, by the month, and how much?
By the month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But how much?
Of course, if I needed anything, I would tell him I want $10 or $12.
Were you fed there at the ranch?
Yeah, I stayed at that.
How were the meals?
The what?
The meals, how were they?
Oh, good.
Who prepared the meals?
He did.
He did?
Lee Adams, yeah.
How many men did he have working out there with?
He had just me and him, both of them. Mm-hmm. That's all.
And you would take care about how many head of cattle?
Oh, right around 200 head. We burned about 3 barrels in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. 3 barrels of gasoline.
I understand that that this before the 1900, San Diego was considered the wool capital of the world. A lot of wool raised around here, borregos. You know anything about that?
There were lots of coyotes, of course. There wasn't much many settlements in different places, you know.
How was that business like? That wool business, they.
What?
The industry on sheep and goats and.
Oh, it was fairly good. They always hired a man, Mexican man, to take care of his goats. Like Louis, he had about 500 head of goats over at the ranch.
Did you do any of that type of work?
No.
Did any of that type of work?
No, didn't do that.
Did you ever broke any horses?
No. They were all gentle horses. Mm-hmm. No, I never did do
that. Do you know of any people around here that did that type of work, that you saw them do that type of work?
No.
How about, did you do any hunting or trapping?
Well, at the Adama Ranch, there was a good many deer and javelinas. Whenever we wanted to kill a deer, we'd go out there in the brush and kill a deer for meat, you know, just for meat, that's all.
How about the first automobile that you saw here in San Diego? Do you know anyone that owned the automobiles here in San Diego? The first automobile?
Yeah. Mr. Luby, he bought me a Model T Ford from San Antonio. And they drove the car to San Diego here. And Mr. Luby gave me a 25% on, you know, the passengers that are. Mm-hmm. That I would take from one place to another in San Diego.
So you were a taxi. You were a taxi driver.
Taxi driver
also.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of business then?
No, not much. No.
Did you have any problems with the car, with the automobile?
No. Always had plenty of gasoline and oil and water.
Did you ever get stuck out there in the?
No.
How about the roads were not paved, were they? Streets were not paved?
No, they were just ground, you know, just ordinary. But you could go through. Of course, sometimes when a big rain would come, we wouldn't take nobody nowhere out of town because, you know, you'd have to get stuck and leave the car there. No.
When did you retire, Mr. Tibler? When did you quit working for? Well, you still work. I know. I see you.
Yeah, I work. But
you have any? You have any cattle now?
No, I sold them.
Sold all of them.
Yeah. We had 9 head of cows, but things got kind of tight, you know. And the best thing to do, we didn't have no place to keep them, you know.
Right.
We'd have to go out and cut grass and.
You have some corn there. You've always planted some corn here.
Yeah, always planted something, corn and vegetables and things like that. Mm-hmm.
Were you related to the Lubies?
No, I wasn't related, but they were neighbors of ours.
Neighbors.
Yeah. You know where that baker shop is now?
Right.
Well, those lots on the east side, though there was about 3 lots that belonged to James O. Luby. And they had a daughter named Kate, and Addie Luby was a school teacher here. Mm-hmm. And there was another daughter, Miss Luby, her name was, what's her name? Addie? Mamie. Mm-hmm. Mamie Luby.
They're related to the Luby's corpus.
Yeah. That man
over
there.
Jason Luby.
Jason Luby? Mm-hmm. Jason Luby, I believe, he's a son of James Jr. Luby.
They live here in San Diego.
They live in San Diego many, many years. Mm-hmm. They were our neighbors there. And on the other, those other lots, on the south side, there was Philip Wright, and Edwin Wright, John Wright, Mrs. Wright, Lucille Wright, Lawrence Wright, Lafayette Wright, and so on.
All of those people, where did they come from? Did they come from Louisiana?
I don't know, but when I was young...
Your father was from Louisiana?
Yeah.
And your mother?
No, my mother, she was raised here in San Diego. Yeah.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Martinet.
Oh, Martinet. Your mother, Martinet, and your father, Tibler.
Yeah.
And...
When you're married, well, you have to take the...
Right.
The man who right. marries there by his name, not by his given name, no.
Did you ever help your grandmother there at the hotel?
Oh,
be in the rooms?
Yeah, help her in the rooms there.
What else did you do there?
Take out the, you know, some of the meows, tres agua en fresca, y echarles a los, eran, jarra.
Yeah, that's the
jarra de China, esa es de China.
Uh-huh.
Le llenaba yo el agua a todos los cuartos ahí.
Water for all the rooms.
Sí, for all the rooms, y lo que, ya ves, cuando...
Right.
Los miaos y yeah. se lavan la cara y echan el agua y lo tiraban solar.
Yeah.
Y doña Juanita Rosales, ella hacía lumbre ahí en el solar y todas las sábanas y todo las servía con jabón.
What kind of soap did they use? Was it homemade soap?
Yeah, no, just Octagon soap, un jabón amarillo que llamamos antes. Había blanco también,
yeah,
pero...
But did they do the laundry for... How many rooms did that hotel have?
It was about 14 rooms.
14 rooms. When did your father and your mother die? When they passed away? How old were you when they died? Or your father died first and then your mother?
Yeah.
Do you recall when...
No, I don't remember. But it,
how old were you?
I was young, yes.
Like what? Like were you in school?
I don't remember exactly, but
how about your mother? Who died first, your mother or your father?
My father.
Your father died.
We have a tombstone right there at the cemetery, and that gives the names. And there's another one. We have a stone, John D. Clary. He stayed there because he was married to Miss Martinet's daughter. My mother was the daughter of Miss Martinet. Mm-hmm. Lizzie.
What was your mother's first name?
Leonie G. Tibriere.
And she died, how many years after your father died?
I don't remember, but we can already refer to the stone or the cemetery.
When was your last year with Mr. Martinez at the gym?
I don't remember, but when he died, when Celestina died, then his brothers, they stopped the work, and there was no more ginning because one pulled one way and the other pulled the other way, you know. And
when you were growing up, when you were in school, what did you do for recreation? There was no movie houses there. What did you do? How did you pass the time?
They had moving pictures there. They had a moving picture. The first one was an American by the name of Stover. He was, you know where that crest is now?
Yes.
Well, on the other side, on the south side, they had about 75 or 80 feet in a square like that. And they had the operator up there, you know, just a place to sit down and put the reels on the things and reel them. And the owner of that was named Stover.
Is it silent name?
Huh?
Silent? There was no sound?
No sound. It's just, you know, those...
Did anyone play the piano?
No, non aveva piani male. Sì, non mai dal vita. Mm-hmm. Questi c'erano altre vita, sir. And there is a J.W. Shaw.
Right, that's where the that dry goods store.
Sì, un testa.
Il Nuovo Mondo.
Sì, il Nuovo Mondo. Però ahí había una caballeriza. Tenía el viejo shop para los caballos.
Mm-hmm. A barn for the horses?
Sí, para los caballos. Y ahí los tenían en unos pesebres mm-hmm. cortados. Sí. Tenía, te voy a decir, a la carretera que mandaba él para acá, para el dipo, cuando llegaba el tren de las 10 aquí y las 2 de la tarde aquí al dipo. El gerente ahí era Dave Craven.
He was the agent
of Tex-Mex, yeah. Y el viejo Sean tenía dos caballos tordillos. Tenía un dun.
Tordillo is a what? Like what?
Gray.
A gray horse.
Gray horse.
He had two of them.
And he had one dun horse. Mm-hmm. And he had another, he named him George. Ese era para la carretela. Y el Bolivar era para la carretela. Cuando volteaba él, hacía la cola mucho ese Bolivar. Mm-hmm. Porque metía la carretela así para allá. De acá. Y aquí está la cartera.
That was done to change the track or what?
No, that was just wait for the drummers to come and get the cartela mm-hmm. para llevarlos para el pueblo.
Oh, I see.
A la tienda.
It's like a stagecoach.
Stagecoach.
Except
coach,
that
sí.
It was an open stagecoach.
Sí. Yo los conocí bien y trabajaba allí. Cirildo Ibarra. Él se arreglaba con la cuestión de los caballos, las guarniciones y todo.
What other recreation besides the movies did you have? Did you go fishing? Did you go swimming? What kind of games did you play around the house?
Nada de eso.
You were working all the time?
Yeah, I was working and doing something.
Both your mother and your father spoke English?
Yeah.
All the way through, or did they speak Spanish?
No.
No Spanish?
No Spanish.
How did you learn your Spanish?
I learned it here at school. Mexican boys that went to the school here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of, I like to talk to them in Spanish because they can understand what you mean, you know, the meaning of anything like that. I've noticed when they have juntas here at the courthouse or any other place, They want to talk in English, and they don't pronounce the words that they want to pronounce correct. They order all these meetings to be in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Porque en español, las palabras que dices tú, la gente sabe el derribado, lo que quieres dar a entender.
Mm-hmm. Job did you hold after you came back from the service, other than what you told me about the ginning
yeah.
And you did some work for Luby and
Louis Jaeger and Jaeger. Lee Adamy mm-hmm. and Charlie Gravis.
Were you ever involved
in different places?
Were you ever involved in politics?
No, no. I didn't pay no attention to the politics. No.
So have you lived here all your married life?
Yeah, right here. I bought this place here.
When did you get married? After you came back from the service?
Yeah, about 1920, 21, 22, something like that, more or less.
Yeah. And you've lived here all that time?
All that time, yeah.
Are any of your brothers still living today?
I'm the only one.
All of them died here in San Diego?
All of them died here.
In San Diego?
No, Lawrence, he died in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. He's in the cemetery, you know, belongs to the government.
Right.
He was buried over there in San Antonio.
You're,
I was thinking on sometime, if I get a chance sometime, I'd like to dig the grave up and bring his coffin and let him put it over his cemetery in San Diego. See, that way that we'd all be together.
That's right. Your father and your mother are there.
Yeah.
And your brothers. Lawrence is the only one that's out there.
Lawrence, yeah.
Was he in the service? Was he killing the service or?
No. He was up there in, where I was in that Oregon front.
Mm-hmm. Did you see actual fighting over there?
Yeah. He was in there. He was in the 151st Aero Squadron with the pilotos, you know, and mm-hmm. helping them and nice. Things like that. He said, he used to tell me after we came back from, he says, I saw many airplanes, you know, when they would shoot at them.
Yes. The first type of airplanes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Los que tenía Estados Unidos.
In Germany. Hey.
Porque esta es la potencia más fuerte. Según yo vi de que no hay ninguna nación en el mundo que los pueda atropellar mucho. Porque el ejército americano, cuando entramos allá en Francia para atacar a los alemanes, ya los dieron una guerrilla bruta, pesado.
Were you in the infantry?
Yeah, I was in the infantry. M Company, 144th Infantry.
Did you spoke Spanish?
36th Division.
There or English when you went in?
Yeah, I spoke both languages.
Both languages. Your parents were what? Were French?
French, yeah.
Did they speak French when they?
No.
No, they didn't speak French.
No, they didn't speak no French to us.
But they came from Louisiana from probably yeah. French parents, right?
And then when they settled here, it was a different language altogether.
Why do you suppose so many people came from out of town and settled here in San Diego? There are a lot of Anglo people settled here. Well, there's more Anglo people in those days than we have now.
You know, because the land was cheaper and your groceries were cheaper.
Here
and,
in San Diego?
Yeah. I remember they used to give us 25 pounds of sugar for a dollar. Mm-hmm. And coffee was worth only 4 cents a pound, but you would have to, you know, toast it.
Right.
You can
grind it.
Uh-huh. Small. Uh-huh. So every family had a little molino, you know. La manteca valía 3 centavos. Y venía en barricas. Mm-hmm. Tenían un palo largo así y tenían unas cazuelitas que hacían de madera. Ahí te echaban 1 libra, 2 libras, 3 libras. Mm-hmm. Tenían diferentes tamaños, en otras palabras. Era mucho, mucho barato todo.
But there was, unless most of them were farmers or ranchers, a train stop, a very important train stop that maybe brought people in? Or?
No, the train's been here before I
did
was
you work,
born.
Did you work in the with the
No, in the railroad?
Railroad?
No, never worked.
Never worked? And you live real close to it, right?
Yeah.
But never worked for
oh,
it?
Oh, no. No, I always had different jobs in other places and things like that.
I've often wondered why there were so many Anglos then unless there was a lot of land that some of them
bought. There was lots of land and it was cheap, you know. We got out to like it, yeah.
And then they moved out. Do you suppose they moved out because of politics or what?
No, they moved out because ya no había negocio aquí.
No business, the ranching. And
hace muchos años.
During the Depression, where were you during the Depression?
Aquí, yo aquí estaba. Yo no me moví para ninguna parte.
Did you have a job here? Were you working?
What? Yeah.
What would you do to supplement for the things that were not, that you didn't have, you couldn't get during the Depression?
We had always managed to get something to groceries and tortillas de harina, hacíamos tortillas de maíz, porque las comidas más propias hemos tenido toda la vida. Cocía cosas mexicanas, frijoles y fideos. Carne, había mucha carne de venado y bueno, la pasábamos muy bien aquí, la vida.
Mm-hmm. Y, did you ever dream or wish that you had been something else, maybe gone into some kind of a business or become a lawyer? Or
No.
Nothing like that. He didn't. He just wanted to be left alone.
I had jobs, and I made enough to pull out of 1 month and then start another month. Yo trabajé allá en Corpus, en la, esa lugar. Sí, en ese lugar, hombre.
What kind of work?
Just, helping the bricklayers and build the place, you know.
At the base? You didn't work at the base there?
No, afuera.
The corn products? DuPont refinery, maybe? Celanese plants?
No me acuerdo cómo se llama ese lugar.
Reynolds Aluminum?
Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Ahí trabajé yo. Mm-hmm. Sí, ahí trabajé yo mucho tiempo. Salimos de aquí con Ernesto. Este que era empleado aquí más o menos. ¿Cómo se llama Ernesto?
Molina, ¿no?
Molina. A las 3 de la mañana lo hacíamos de aquí para llegar allá a tiempo, para comenzar a las 8, mm-hmm, al trabajo, ¿ves?
So you did spend out of work doing masonry work?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Toda esa mezcla para el press yo lo hice. Mm-hmm. Allá en aquella escuela que está allá, mm-hmm, la última, yo hice toda la mezcla para aquella escuela. Hice la mezcla para esa cárcel que tenemos aquí. Hice toda la mezcla para una iglesia y nadie. Y así por el orden, todo el tiempo le he buscado de alguna manera o de otra.
That's cool.
Sí.
I know that you have a lot of tools there.
Yeah. I always keep them to clean the yard, you know, or dig up the plant. Ya ves que las mujeres.
How long have you been planting that corn and those things there?
Many, many years.
Do you use any fertilizer?
No.
No,
sometimes I buy a sack or two, but it's pretty good land. I used to have my cows here, you know, and the manure, you know.
Right.
It's muy bueno para la tierra. Sandías hemos sembrado ahí, melones, calabazas, verduras. Bueno, de poquito de todo. Uh-huh.
How about your family? How big a family do you have? How many sons and daughters do you have?
Eran 12 por todos.
12.
12.
How many boys and how many girls?
Era Claudio, el que sirvió al gobierno por 20 años, ya va a salir. Nomás un muchacho. Los demás eran puras muchachas.
Did the farmers and ranchers, when they came to town, did they tell you any stories, unusual stories about anything in the ranchos?
No.
Leyendas, historias, corridos.
Mucha comida. Había bastantes. No, la gente era muy buena, bastante. Mm-hmm. Muy buena gente. Aquí en San Diego yo nunca oí que un muchachito mexicano, americano o de negrito se hayan entrado a una tienda a robar o hicieron un mal a una señora o le quemaron la casa. No.
Not in those days. No. Not the way it is today.
No, es como ahora.
Today is terrible.
Ahora no puedes dejar tu casa sola.
Right.
Bien, se llevan un radio, se llevan un television.
Ajá.
Muy groseros.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's more. The more you give them, the more they want, right?
Sí, no es que nosotros nos conformamos con un peso, dos, tres pesitos, y hay de buscar la manera de voltear y empezar a comprar esto.
Did your father ever need for you to work to help him out?
No, I was too young.
You were on
when he died.
And how about your mother later on? Did you help around the house? I mean, did you help the house with money?
Oh, yes, I used to help him wash dishes and things like that in his house. In my house, era yo mismo.
But I mean, when you were working, did you help with money in any way?
Yeah, when I was in the army, I used to send my mother $10 because they was only paying us $30 a month, and I had to buy what I needed in the army. Then I would give her the $10, and when I had the garage, I would give her practically everything that I made there. You know, like I'd fix a Model T Ford.
Mm-hmm. You were a mechanic also?
Yeah, mechanic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand every part of the Model T Ford.
That was, what year was that?
That was 1920 or 50. Sí, yo recuerdo de muchas, muchas cosas, lo que pasó aquí también.
Can you tell us about anything about that? About any?
Pues sí, cuando la cuestión de Ocho Porche quería cambiar la casa de corte, bueno, pues ya ves, se enojaron los americanos y mataron tres mexicanos ahí casi en la mera puerta de la casa de corte.
You were born of, let's say, Anglo parents.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any resentment towards the Mexican or towards the Anglo?
No, I've been very, very nice to the Mexican people. Mm-hmm. I think a great deal of them because I like to. I always remember what an American, some of those intelligent Americans, I always take care and I listen to what they say. Mm-hmm. Says, do unto others as you like them do unto you. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And they've been very nice to me all the time, and I've helped them. Now, the other day, there was a Mexican family, they were coming from Florida, I believe he said, and they didn't have enough money to buy gasoline to go to Laredo. Mm-hmm. And the young boy, he came here and he told me that they were over there and ya no tenemos gasolina. He said, bueno, ven aquí están estos $5. Mm-hmm. Échale gasolina tu carro y te vas para Laredo. Con $5 llegas a Laredo.
Nice.
Sí. Eran de Laredo, México, yo creo.
Oh, so they just ran out of gas. Sí.
Todo el tiempo.
How about did you have any trouble when you were going to school? Did the other boys give you a hard time because you were Anglo and they were, Mexican?
No, I always, you know, I like to be with them, play with them, and talk to them, and everything. En español, yo quiero muy bien a toda la gente mexicana.
Well, you learn English before you learn Spanish, right? Of course, because at the house, that's what they spoke, English.
I learned both languages.
But did your parents, they spoke Spanish or very little
Spanish? My mother used to talk a little Spanish. Correct, you know. Yeah.
But you learned it with the Spanish, hanging around with the boys and all.
And at the schoolhouse. Yeah, we used to play football and y fue pelota, jugamos y no, yo todo el tiempo quería a la gente mexicana muy bien. Yo los conocía a todas esas gentes mexicanas aquí en San Diego, especialmente los que tenían negocios. Como el primero de al, nosotros vivíamos atrás de la casa de Croft and Company, está en Loril Arroyo, y después vinimos para acá, donde está la panería. Esta casa es de nosotros. Y después Miss Morton, ella tenía el hotel allí.
That was your grandmother.
Mrs. E. Morton. No, yo todo el tiempo. Primero era Croft and Company. Y la tienda de este lado, Croft and Company, es de A. Beecher. Mm-hmm. Es en la esquina ahí.
So most of the Anglo that came over here also had they were merchants, right?
Merchants. Y el otro de este lado de acá es el viejo Cohn, M.D. Cohn. Y Y había otra tienda. Enfrente hay una cantina donde mataron a Archie McNeil. TJ Lawson. Eran amigos míos, ellos. Y yo les encontraba ahí. Y en la esquina.
Was the OG Garcia, was it there then? The store, OG? Or that came later?
No, that came later.
Oh.
Viejo Con, TJ Lawson. Y la otra tienda de la casa, nosotros para allá, Macario Treviño. Y todas esas gentes, por toda esa acera. Pues yo los conocí bien porque, pues, sabía quiénes eran y todo. Sí, yo conocí la mayor parte de la gente aquí. Bruno Ríos. Ahí son todas las boticas de Bruno Ríos.
He was the first, what, the drugstore,
pharmacy? Bruno Ríos, sí, pharmacy. El doctor, sí, el doctor Strickland y el farmacéutico se llamaba Agustín Alemán.
Oh, I see, yeah. Strickland was the first, one of the first doctors here in San Diego?
Yeah, first doctor.
Was he a pretty good doctor?
He was a good doctor. Sí, era muy buen doctor. Sí. Muy buen doctor. Y todos los otros doctores que han venido son muy buenos. Mm-hmm. Buenos doctores. Sí. Diciendo, ¿sabes nomás lo malo que, pues no me gustó a mí porque, pues ya ves que sacan colores a la gente y esto, el otro. Este, había un orador que vino, era un, que se hicieron en contra del viejo Archie Poor. Surgieron un orador y estaba orating.
¿Cuál fue su nombre, el orador?
Yo creo que se llamaba Kid, y no estoy muy seguro, pero yo creo que se llamaba Kid. Y a las 4 de la tarde, él dijo que fueran a la casa corte para leerles lo que faltaba, en otras palabras, lo que faltaba de dinero en esos libros.
Mr. Parr was what then?
Él era el jefe de aquí, como George B.
But he was just a political boss.
Political, yeah.
He was not a county official or anything like that.
No, él
boss.
Era el como jefe, como George
right.
B. Así la
just,
misma
just
cosa.
Political boss.
Él manejaba aquí.
He ran the people.
La
around.
Gente iba a él, hombre, esto, el otro.
Mm-hmm. Sí. Whatever he said
sí,
was done.
Whatever. Y este, me acuerdo yo muy bien que el primer orden que dijo 30,000, 40,000, después otro día 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. 80,000. Y ya cuando llegó a 80,000, le prendieron fuego a la casa de corte a las 3 de la mañana.
Yeah. That courthouse was burned down and there was no records, huh?
There was no, se quemaron todos los records.
All records were burned up.
Ya no hubo más.
That's when they were auditing the books.
When they auditing the books.
And who was the county judge then? Do you recall who were the commissioners that were responsible?
I don't remember
that
who the
Mr. Parr.
Mr. El mandaba
he handled the whole works.
Yeah, he was the boss.
He was the boss.
Como George B. cuando estaba vivo. La misma cosa.
So it really didn't matter who was judge and commissioners.
No. Ellos ponían los que ellos querían.
Sí. Now, this auditor was sent by the state or what?
It was a bunch of Americans that they didn't like the way Paul was handling this outfit here.
Mm-hmm.
And they got together and they got an auditor.
Mm-hmm.
They paid him to come and audit the books.
But he never got through because everything was burned up. Huh?
No, it was burned up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yo corrí, yo estaba acostado en el corredor en la casa, en mi casa mía. Y le echaron. Echaron ese gas de lámpara, fue en 1914, que quemaron la... Y a los dos, tres días fui yo para allá donde estaba ya... Se quemó todo, echaron gas arriba y abajo.
Uh-huh.
Y estaba un barril de gas ahí, le faltaba como tanto así. Yo lo agarré y lo moví así. Tenía muy poquito galla. Y tenía un poste abajo. Poste de bronce.
Right. So they...
Y se quemó.
And they never found out who done it.
No. Eso. Pero fue alguno de esos, ya ves que...
Yeah. Some of the... Sí. And then, where was the next courthouse built? The same place?
No, it was in the same place, but then after that, they moved it over here to a good courthouse, yeah. Mm-hmm. Brick building, como el que está ahorita.
Right.
Sí. Ya en ese tiempo ya no ha habido.
So, after that one burned down by 1914, they built the one that's here now?
No, they built one afterwards.
Temporary?
Just temporary. La tumbaron.
Was it built in the same place where this one is at now? Or?
Donde estaba la...
The old one.
La que se quemó la...
Where was that at, approximately? Where was that at, that old courthouse?
It was... You know where the jail is now?
Yes.
La cárcel, donde está la cárcel.
Right. Uh-huh.
Bueno, estaba así. Mira, hay una calle que va así.
By the Mix, by the Willie Mix, Walter Mix, sir?
No, Mix está más allá.
Oh.
No, esta es donde, yo creo que Olivera vivía ahí enfrente, uh-huh, de la Casa Corte, por ahí cerquita. Y allí en esa calle que va de Sol Nace a Sol Se Mete, ahí de este lado estaba la Casa Corte que quemaron.
Uh-huh.
Era de dos pisos.
Right.
Porque yo muchas veces iba a oír así cuestiones que... Yo creo que el perseguidor de eso y el juez era Hopkins de Corpus.
He was the district judge?
District Hopkins. Judge, sí.
And the prosecutor?
Me acuerdo cómo se llamaba este americano.
Mm-hmm. So they came from Corpus?
Sí, él pues tenía, yo creo, este district y
Pasturias
y otros lugares.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever sell any firewood to the railroad?
No.
How about the ones that the gin that you operated, was it, did it work on coal or diesel or?
Primero tenían un banco de madera ahí en esa esquina.
Mm-hmm.
Ahí tenían un banco grande de pura leña de mezquite,
uh-huh,
pero cortado en pedacitos así.
Right. Where would they get it from? They would get it from around here?
From the people around here, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Se los compraban.
They would buy it from
el Camino de Fierro les compraba.
Right.
Tenían gente ahí para recibirlo. Y después usaron ese rock charcoal. Que parecía como piedra.
Uh-huh.
Esa le echan con...
With the shovels, ¿no?
Con shovel.
Uh-huh.
Sí. Y después, no me acuerdo qué año fue cuando vino el primer diesel electric aquí a San Diego.
Uh-huh.
Y era de Laredo a Corpus.
Uh-huh.
Ya ellos ya todo el tiempo han usado ese ya.
Uh-huh.
Diesel electric.
Uh-huh.
Sí.
How about the water? Did most people have wells around here, or how?
No, they had water from the around the creek, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They had norias.
Mm-hmm.
Tenían como unos 20 pies y les sacaban con cubo,
uh-huh,
un cubo eso de 5 galones.
Right.
Una cadena, mm-hmm, ya tenía un, ese es donde ponen el mecate,
mm-hmm,
para estirarle. Le sacaban de nuevo y vendían el barril a $2 aquí a
Tolga. 25 cents a barrel.
25 cents a barrel.
But were there any, did you have a well around here?
No.
We'd
always buy it from them.
Always buy it from them.
Sí.
How would you transport it, the water? Was it brought to you?
Yeah, it was brought and we put it in barrels.
Yeah, but they'd bring it to you in a buggy or something?
No, in un...